during the time that you're asleep, your DNA is remodeling. That's helping repair things that got broken during the day, and we break it during the day very easily. As your cells are constantly changing, your DNA gets screwed up. You know, a lot of people with COVID right now, there's a lot of talk about all these variants and mutations and what are we going to do? And guess what? You have variants in your body of your own cells. And if you don't get the sleep you need, those variants can start to take over. And that's when we start going down the pathway of things like cancer. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, where I'm helping dads like myself embrace their parenting imperfections and rediscover what it means to be a dad in the 21st century. Hello and welcome. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. Hope everybody is doing well out there. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel. I'm a board certified pediatrician, husband, and father of two boys. And if you were with me last week, we talked to Dr. Joan Arta Guzman, who is a hospitalist out in Los Angeles, but also basically a specialist in lifestyle medicine. And if you aren't familiar with that, I'd recommend you go back to that episode to kind of hear what he has to say about it. One of the pillars or parts, I guess you'd say, of lifestyle medicine is sleep. And I know we could all use a lot more sleep in our lives as parents. And so I'm going to be focusing today on sleep and how sleep for us as parents, and especially as dads, how it's important. We could do hours on sleep. Especially for us, for our kids, how to get them to go to sleep, how to get ourselves to go to sleep. And I'm not going to probably cover all of that, but I do think understanding the reason why sleep is important is a good thing, and how it can affect your health and how it can help you. You know, when your child's born initially, they sleep a lot, but they don't sleep a lot, if that makes sense. You know, they're sleeping like 20 some hours a day, but they're also waking you up about every 2 to 3 hours to eat. And so you get a lot of interrupted sleep as a parent. For the babies, it's normal. It's fine. It's not a big deal. But as a parent, you don't get that full sleep that you're used to. And you don't get through the full sleep cycles that you typically do too. And so it's not uncommon in the office to have new parents or even experienced parents with a new baby come in. And, you know, we usually see parents a couple days after going home from the newborn nursery, and they're tired. You can see it on their faces, and you know they're tired. You've been there. I've been there. It's not easy having a new baby in the house, but hopefully they figure out the whole sleep schedule as they get older, and sooner the better. And hopefully you start catching up on your sleep. But we don't always catch up on our sleep. You know, it's not just kids that challenge us in our lives for our normal sleep schedules. You know, probably back in school, maybe high school, maybe college, you were studying and staying up late to study for tests or study for some type of exam, getting work done. Maybe you procrastinated and you had a big project due the next day and you stayed up really late. Or maybe it was the weekend or a Wednesday and it was halfway through the week. So you were celebrating and you're going out partying most nights during college. Who knows? Maybe you work long hours for work. Maybe you're a night shift person or swing shift, where your day is going from a, you know, early evening into late morning type of shift, and your schedule's totally thrown off. There's a lot of things that affect our sleep. And when that happens, it affects our health. It really does. And if you're not healthy, you can't be there for the people that depend on you. So when you think about sleep, it's always that question of how much are we supposed to get? We talk about kids a lot and how much they're supposed to get, but as adults, it varies so much. And I think it's easy for a lot of us to act proud of being able to function on minimal sleep. It's not uncommon to hear people bragging about that. Maybe it's a humble brag. Maybe it's a, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I only got 3 hours of sleep last night, but look at all these great things I'm doing kind of brag. It's hard to know. The average American gets about less than 7 hours of sleep. And that's not good, because we're supposed to, as adults, still get somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Now, there's not a set number, because it's different a little bit for each of us. And so I can't tell you, hey, you have to get exactly 7 hours and 32 minutes and you're going to be perfect. It ranges, but really that 7 to 9 area is that sweet spot that really helps our brains and our bodies do what it needs to do. You know, a lack of sleep doesn't make you tough. It doesn't make you more intelligent. And it really in most cases doesn't make you more productive. You might think you are. You know, you might be one of those people that says, hey, I stay up till 11 and then I'm going to wake up at 4 and I'm going to get all this stuff done before the day goes and look at all this great thing I got done. And that's wonderful. You know, my previous podcast too, I talked about time management, and maybe part of your time management is setting that early rise schedule to accomplish the goals you want to accomplish. Maybe you're doing a side gig. Maybe you're doing extra work on the side to accomplish, you know, financial goals or freedom goals or something like that. And it's all great and good to get things done. But if you're sacrificing your health for it, is it really worth it? Is it really a top priority to do it like that? And that's a question we got to ask ourselves. So I'm going to get into a little bit of science here. I promise I'm not going to do this for too long because I don't want to bore the hell out of you here. But when you think about our brain and the way we want to sleep, it's called your circadian rhythm. And I'm sure most of you have heard of that. And that's really regulated by some different areas of your brain. There's one place called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, which is referred to as the clock of the brain. And this really helps regulate melatonin. And if you're familiar with melatonin, a lot of people like to try to use it as a sleep aid and to help you fall asleep. But the thing is we make our own melatonin at nighttime. But the problem is we have somehow screwed up our brains to do it the right way for those of us who struggle with falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good sleep. The way our brain works with melatonin is you need light exposure, and specifically blue wavelengths. You hear a lot about blue wave and blue sunglass blocker type of things, and I'll touch that on that a little bit. But during the day, you need that exposure. Because what your brain needs, it needs to know when it's daytime, it needs to know when it's nighttime, and it knows it's daytime by your eyes and how the light comes into your eyes, and it triggers your brain to either not make melatonin or produce the melatonin. So when you're out, and sunlight's there, and you're getting hit with all this light, you're getting these blue wavelengths to the back of your brain, and it's telling you, hey, it's daytime, don't make melatonin. And your brain doesn't make melatonin. That's good. And then as the evening rolls down by and the sun starts to set, you're getting less exposure to that sunlight, you're home, hopefully the lights aren't crazy bright in your house, and now your brain's like, oh, there's not as much light now. Now it's time to start making some melatonin. It's time to get tired. And that's your, in a nutshell, very simply, it's not all of it, but simply that's your circadian rhythm, because the lights keep getting dimmer, your activity gets thinner or less, and your brain's like, okay, here we go. And you get tired and fall asleep. And then you wake up later. So that's melatonin for you. The problem is we're not all outside all the time. We're not getting appropriate light exposure all the time. Some of you may work in an office and you're stuck inside a building all day. Some of you may be stuck at home right now because of COVID, working inside an office all day. Your kids may be stuck virtually learning, and they're struggling with their sleep schedules all of a sudden, and that's because they're stuck inside all day. And when that happens, a few things can be affecting this. You know, you might not be getting enough light total, especially natural sunlight from outside, or you're getting a constant barrage of light from the screens in front of you. And yes, there's blue light in that. And then you get home and you're getting exposed to the exact same light through the lights in your house, through the other screens, like if you're sitting watching TV, playing video games, looking at your phone, looking at your tablet, whatever it is, it's the exact same light. And your brain is sitting there like, what the heck is going on? I don't know what to do with this. I've had the same light exposure for the last 18 hours. When the heck am I supposed to get tired? And it just doesn't know. And it totally affects how your brain produces that melatonin and how your brain functions and figures out how the heck to get you tired. So light's a big thing. Now, some of you may be asking, oh, it's not a big deal because I have a blue light blocker on my computer, or I have blue light glasses that help block blue light. So it's cool. I just wear those, or my kid wears them when they're doing virtual learning, and we're great. But the problem there is that if you're blocking blue light all day, then you're also not stimulating the brain during the day to be awake. So there's a balance there. So you can't block blue light all day and then get home, take off your glasses, take off your blocker on your computer and be like, all right, cool. Now I'm good to go. Because now all of a sudden you might get barraged with more blue light now than you did during your day. And now your brain's super confused. And that's obviously not helpful. So something else that happens when you're going to sleep, that melatonin gets secreted and your blood vessels dilate. And when your blood vessels dilate, it causes your core body temperature to drop. And so you get a little bit cooler, and then it helps you fall asleep. And you need that cooling to happen to really help you fall asleep. And that temperature keeps dropping for about 4 hours. So temperature is important in terms of how you sleep and what your setup is like with blankets and the heat in your house and those kind of things. So something to keep in mind there. But the big thing with sleep is when you're sleeping, your body's recovering from your day. During the time that you're asleep, your DNA is remodeling. That's helping repair things that got broken during the day, and we break it during the day very easily. As your cells are constantly changing, your DNA gets screwed up. You know, a lot of people with COVID right now, there's a lot of talk about all these variants and mutations and what are we going to do? And guess what? You have variants in your body of your own cells. And if you don't get the sleep you need, those variants can start to take over. And that's when we start going down the pathway of things like cancer. So sleep helps with repairing this. The other thing with sleep, it increases something called leptin. Leptin is this signaler to your body that helps manage your hunger, makes you less hungry. Also, when you're sleeping, you get more fatty acid metabolism. That's essentially because you're sleeping and you're not eating, and your body needs fuel, so it breaks down fats and things like that, which makes sense. Now, have you ever noticed, though, when you don't get sleep, how you're super hungry the next day? That's because your body, as your body wakes up, it releases cortisol. Cortisol makes you hungry. That's part of, you know, the whole breaking the fast of sleeping or breakfast when you eat in the morning. Part of that hunger is due to these cortisol surges. And when you don't sleep, your cortisol goes crazy sometimes. And I bet you really want to eat carbs and those kind of foods because these chemicals in your body make you crave them. And so if you're not getting good sleep, it's going to affect your appetite. It's going to affect how well you can stay full and how long you stay full and what kind of foods you crave that day. And it's a big thing. So let's see. We talked about light and how light affects our sleep. We talked about how your body gets kind of cool as you're sleeping. And then we talked about how your body remodels its DNA and manages your hunger and all those things. So those are all pretty darn good things, I think. Hopefully you think they are too. Now, when we have those days where we don't sleep well, it doesn't just affect you for the next day. It can affect you for about 2 to 3 days. If you have poor light exposure during the day and it throws off that circadian rhythm, let's say, and your body maybe struggles to stay awake during the day because you're not getting the right exposure, you're wearing those blue blocker glasses or whatever it is, and then you're more active at night and the light affects the brain, like I talked about, that effect lasts 2 to 3 days. It takes 2 to 3 days for your body to get back to where it was. And so, you know, a lot of times you hear like, oh, I stayed up all night last night for working on this project, or kids in high school are like, oh yeah, we stayed up all night for a sleepover, but it's cool because I slept all day today, so I'm fine. Well, no, you're not. It's going to take your body like 3 days to get back to where it needs to be. So don't think you can just make it up in a day. You're going to be feeling the effects for several days. And then if you do it again, it's going to happen again and it's going to get worse. So it's not that great. So here's some other things. How does sleep continue to keep you healthy? When you're sleeping, there's these different stages, and I'm not going to go into all the stages of sleep, but stage 3 sleep improves your learning and your memory. It gives you faster cognitive processing, and it helps you with anxiety and fear extinguishment, meaning you can manage fears and anxiety so much better. You know, when I have teenagers come into the office and parents are like, man, this year with high school, I don't know what's going on. They're struggling. They're more anxious. They're more fearful. They don't want to go to school. They're struggling and focusing with school. They can't remember anything. They can't retain this information. You know, I think they got ADHD. I think they have something else going on. And it's like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Cool. Let's talk about this. And so many times these kids' sleep schedules are horrendous. It's, well, what time are you going to bed at night? Oh, maybe 10. Okay, so what time do you fall asleep? Oh, probably not till 12, sometimes 1. Oh, well, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm, you know, on my phone playing video games. Okay, there you go. Your blue light's keeping you up. So what's the problem? Well, I just can't fall asleep. Well, these kids aren't active. They're not doing things during the day, and their light exposure is poor. Or they're just wanting to stay up because it's not uncommon for us to want to stay up at night to make up for what we didn't get to do during the day. You know, there's actually a term for this now. My mother-in-law sent me this article, and it's based on this concept of, you know, during the day, you don't get to do all the things you want to do, so you decide to stay up late and do then what you didn't get to do during the day, and they call it revenge bedtime procrastination, meaning that you get revenge on your bedtime because you're like, nope, I'm not going to go to sleep now. I'm going to watch my show, work on this project I want to work on. I'm going to totally zone out because I didn't get to do that today. And how many of you as parents do that? Like, your kids are finally asleep, you get the dishes done, or you put things away, the toys are finally picked up, and you're like, oh my gosh, great, it's 10 o'clock and I should go to bed right now. But no, I earned this. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to watch my show. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to do this stuff, and I'm going to wind down, which, you know, we need our wind down time. We need our mental, you know, breaks and things like that. But then all of a sudden you look at the clock and it's midnight and you're like, oh crap, I stayed up way too late tonight. And that's pretty common, I think, with a lot of people nowadays, because it's this procrastination to go to sleep is real. It affects all of us. And when that happens, it affects your ability to learn and to remember things. And same with kids. It affects your ability to process information. Like, have you ever felt when you're tired and people are talking to you or people ask you to do something, you're like, hold on a second, my brain needs to wake up, or I can't figure this out, or what did you just say, or I can't find the right word? That's all that cognitive processing in your brain. And when you don't get enough sleep, it just doesn't work. You know, when I was a resident training, we would still do, how long were they? 36 hour shifts or something like that. So you'd go in the morning and you'd work all day, and then you'd be on call all night and you'd stay up admitting patients and doing those things. And then you'd do rounds the next morning, and then lunchtime would finally hit and you get to go home and go to sleep for a little bit. And then you go back the next day and round it. We were actually the last residents to do that before they made changes. And the reason they made changes, because I mean, there's a ton of studies out there that find that your lack of sleep reduces cognitive processing almost as badly as drunk driving. So they would take people who were drunk, and they test them on their processing speeds and their ability to react to situations in a driving simulation. And then they took people who were sleep deprived and did the same tests, and they had the same results. So it absolutely affects your ability to process what is going on around you and to react. And that's important. And it's the same with your kids too. You know, if you got kids in junior high, high school, even elementary school, they're not getting good sleep, I guarantee you they're probably having problems of managing their emotions, problems with focus in school, problems with memorizing things. Maybe they're more anxious or nervous or scared. And a lot of that can all just boil down to sleep and managing that. And if you can do that for yourself, and you can do that for your kids, I mean, that's huge. I mean, you don't have to go see counselors, psychologists, put on medications, that kind of stuff. It's really just managing that sleep. And now I make it sound easy, but it's not, because everything, you know, we always talk about life is routines. And if your routine's off now, it's going to take some time to get back into the right routine. And it takes some work and it takes some effort. You know, if you're not willing to want to make a change, you're not going to make a change. If your kids aren't willing to make a change, they're not going to make a change. And so it's important to understand the benefits. It's important to understand the risks. Because only then do I think we can actually make the real changes. Now, one thing I brought up at the beginning of this podcast, I said, I feel like this discussion on sleep is really important for dads. And there's a reason for that. So my dad, loved my dad to death. He was an OBGYN. He worked super long hours. His patients loved him. He did a ton of incredible things as an OBGYN. If you know somebody who's an OBGYN, they work crazy hours. They're on call a lot. They go in to deliver babies at any time in the night. And then they're up the next morning rounding or doing whatever they need to do, going to emergencies. They work their butts off. And their sleep schedules probably aren't the greatest. The thing with my dad, and the thing with my family, actually, when you look at men in my family, we have a long history of cancers, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, those kind of things. And the interesting thing was sleep. Sleep helps your immune system, and your immune system fights cancer. we have cells that help fight cancers. And so, like I said earlier, your DNA gets repaired during sleep. That helps prevent cancer. You have these cytokines called interleukin 1 and interleukin 2 and another one called THF-alpha. Those are much more active when you get good sleep, meaning they kill off cancer cells. To be honest, we're all probably making cancer cells every now and then, but our body fights it super quick, so you never know you have a problem with it. It's not until your body can't fight those cells anymore that cancer starts to take over. And there's a lot of factors for it. It's not just sleep, but sleep's one of those things. The other thing is that if you don't get enough sleep, your body actually increases another type of interleukin called interleukin 10. And they have found that an increase of this interleukin 10 can stimulate cytokine and DNA methylation that affects the way your DNA is encoded. And I'm actually probably going to talk about some epigenetics at some point here, and we'll get into some DNA methylation with that. But they found that an increase in this interleukin 10, what it does, it increases your risk for cancers. Increases your risk for prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, acute myeloid leukemia, breast cancer in women, endometrial cancer in women. But when I look at that, and I know my family history on my dad's side and cancer, I can't help but say, oh my gosh, I got to work on this. Because I'm already probably playing from behind here. I probably already have something in my body, who knows what it is, that's going to put me at increased risk for this. And if I don't take care of myself, don't take care of my body, don't take care of my sleep schedule, it's only a matter of time, probably. I mean, I've already tried to prepare my wife. I think she's sick of me telling me. I'm just like, you know, someday it's going to happen and we're going to have to figure it out. Hopefully it doesn't. But, you know, maybe I can keep it from happening. You know, getting good sleep. Eating healthy. That's a big thing too. You know, I'd love to bring Dr. Jonar to Guzman back and talk more about lifestyle medicine, and we probably will at some point in the future, and how that helps your body overall. But it's important. Now, with that said, if you've been paying attention to me at all in the last week, this is the week we've been trying to get our house ready for selling it. And that sucks because we had to pack, we had to clean, we had to do all these things. I had to do touch-up paint. It's super fun. So I recommend not doing it. But literally the last week, my wife and I didn't go to bed until before 1 a.m. or after 1 a.m. We were not used to that. And I'm actually in our office right now, and it's currently 11:40 p.m. as I record this, because my body is totally screwed up on its sleep schedule. And I think I need to get to work on that. So I probably need to close this down today. But before I go, I just hope that maybe something I said resonated with you today. And maybe if your sleep schedule is not great, or your kid's sleep schedule is not great, and you're seeing these changes. And again, we're seeing this a lot now because of COVID. Kids aren't getting the exercise they need. Kids are not getting out and about like they used to. Kids are not doing what they typically do. Now it's getting a little bit better with the vaccines and stuff, although we're really not there yet that we can get out there and really mingle like we used to. But it's affected kids just as much as it's affected adults. And it's extremely important to get ourselves back on normal schedules. So to improve your sleep, you know, I mean, obviously this is not medical advice, but set your routine, get outside during the day, get some sunlight. It's hopefully finally getting nicer where you live. And so get some sunlight, get your exercise. When you exercise, it increases your sympathetic tone, that allows your body to then relax later to help you get tired. One thing I didn't say either is when you go to sleep, your blood pressure kind of drops. When you're tone is better, your sympathetic tone, that increases your blood pressure, so your body can actually manage that better, and that helps you sleep. Obviously, decreasing caffeine in the evenings is important. They talk about trying not to drink alcohol about 3 hours before bed. Sometimes it's nice to have a beer at night. I probably need to not do that. And then avoiding late night snacking. That can keep you up. And so those are some things you can do, but there's a lot of stuff you can do to help your sleep. And really just starts with taking the first steps, looking at your day and realizing, okay, what during my day is keeping this from happening? What during my day is affecting me so much that I can't sleep at night? And then you just make changes, you know, and it's baby steps. It might take a couple weeks to get there, but as long as you're making changes every day, that's the most important thing. So I hope you got something out of this podcast. I need to go get some sleep. If you haven't yet, subscribe, leave a review. Again, those reviews are extremely important to make sure that this podcast is easily found by others when they're searching for podcasts, because I really want to reach out to as many dads as possible and hopefully help them as much as maybe I'm helping some of you. So with that said, I will leave it up to my wonderful son, who is currently sleeping, and as I will be too, to leave our little disclaimer at the end here. Otherwise, embrace your imperfection, guys. I'll see you next week.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.